The Psalms have always held a special place in my heart. When I was in seminary, I took several courses on the Psalms. The first was in the survey of the Old Testament, and then I took Psalms, praying the Psalms, Psalms with pastoral care, and Psalms in preaching. I had the privilege to study under Dr. Walter Brueggemann, an Old Testament professor that was world-renowned and has written many, many books. He influenced the development of my prayer life, theology, and approach to pastoral care. He challenged pastors to get out of the way and give the people the language to commune with God through the Psalms. He writes on Psalm 46, "This psalm is a crucial one. Given our cultural situation of dismay and anxiety, the disappearance of old structures and signals of cultural order causes us to experience the world as falling apart. A keen sense of God's powerful and protective presence permits us to experience and embrace that disorder with freedom and equanimity. Much may fall apart, but we are finally not in jeopardy. God is faithful, God is present, God is powerful, and nothing else matters. A face of sure reality." So where do you go for refuge when you're overwhelmed and you feel like we're all living in chaos? What truth do you turn to? Through prayer and study, I see this familiar psalm in a new light. I've been reminded of how the psalms can redirect our effects and our efforts to help us to cultivate an awareness of God, that God is with us, Emmanuel, and we can rest in the curve of God's smile. A preacher faces forks in the road every time they open scripture and prepare to share them with their congregations. Does this call me to be the prophetic one? Is it to be pastoral, or is it to be an encourager? In this psalm, I hope there may be a touch of all three. This past year, and even today, I hear the refrain of many people, "It's been so hard. It's been so hard for so many reasons." Needless to say, the economy is in the straits, it's in a recession, or even a depression, which also describes the mental wellness of many. Along with the pandemic, we are painfully made aware of the pre-existent plight of our nation and the many disparities in health, education, housing, and law. The invisible enemy of the pandemic is wreaking havoc in every area of our society, including the church. We are weathering the storm, and clearly we face headwinds. Many businesses have not been able to survive this time, and some people are predicting that the church will not survive. Yet among the Christian people, the people of faith, they continue to sing, "God is our strength and refuge, a very present help in trouble." When you know God, you can place God as your refuge. He is there with you. It is when you're in a covenant relationship with God personally, you can profess that even in the present time, God is with us to help us through our troubles. The word from the Lord is a quiet expression of confidence in the sovereignty of God. Psalm 46 is divided into three stanzas, each ending with a mysterious Hebrew word, Selah. Selah was most likely originally a musical notation, indicating a pause in the music for contemplation on what has just been sung. You might translate it, pause and think about that. Take each part and pause and reflect upon it. When the mountains quake, the Lord is my refuge and strength, Selah. When nations are in uproar and kingdoms fall, the Lord Almighty is with us, Selah. Stop your fighting and know that I am God, exalted among the nations. The Lord of armies is with us, Selah. Every year brings us 365 days of uncertainty. Every new day brings us 24 hours of uncertainty. But every second of every hour in every day, God is present, and the power in our lives is available to us through prayer. This text says to us, we don't need to panic. We need to pray. God has given us the privilege and the power of prayer. When we pray, events and foregone conclusions and impossible situations may change. Even if the situation we fear comes to pass, in light of Psalm 46, we can say that God will bring us through. He will not abandon you. We need to pray because prayer is the means whereby we communicate our concerns, face our fears, surrender our struggles to God. Even in the chaos we are feeling seems to be impossible to change. We pray that wise people are coming together and people with character and leadership will step up and lead. It is time for us to turn to prayer and not to panic. We need to take time to pray. We need to take time to pray. My brother, who had the opportunity to go to Montreat Junior College at that time up in North Carolina, experienced the Holy Spirit in a fresh and new way. He's the one who's a pastor up in Jersey City. And when he came back to our little church, he went to the pastor and he said, Bev shouldn't continue to be the leader of the youth. She doesn't take time to pray. And the pastor defended me. Oh, my goodness, she's got four children. She's going to school. What do you expect, John? She doesn't have the privilege you do in school to pray. He said, no, she should be encouraged to take time to pray. You know, he was right. I didn't have to defend myself, and I'm glad I didn't, because he was right. Even more importantly, the busier we find ourselves, the more we need to discipline ourselves to take time to pray. Pray for people who've been infected with the virus, that they may be healed. Pray for families that have lost loved ones to the virus, to sickness, to violence, to natural causes, that they too may be comforted. Pray for all those who are providing any kind of service to help others, healthcare professionals, teachers, scientists, police officers who seek to live into the promise when their badge is placed on their chest that they would and could protect and serve all the people, and our military people who took the pledge to honor and defend the Constitution. Pray also for the church, that we as a people of God may live into the commandments that Jesus said was so important, that we shall love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, and mind, and our strength, that we shall love our neighbors as ourselves. We pray that we may humble ourselves to pray and seek God's way. We need to keep our eyes on God as Peter did when he saw Jesus coming to him in the storm. He stepped out of the boat with confidence, and then he looked down and he saw the raging waves and he began to sink. He took his eyes off of Jesus And he called out in his sinking to Jesus, and there was his hand. And he pulled him up and he rescued him. We need to keep our eyes upon the Lord, keep our hearts, our minds, our souls in his presence, and rest in the arms of his smile. We would do well to operate in faith and not in fear. Faith is not based upon a God who is distant, detached from his people or this world, but an ever-present God. Faith that God fortifies us, God is present with us, God never leaves or forsakes us. The psalmist makes it clear, not once but four times, the Lord is always with us, no matter what happens. To say that God is a present help is to say that God is a help that has been found to be reliable in the past, and there's no reason to fear that he won't be with us in the future. We look to our African American churches who in the past have known that God has made a way where there was no way. If it hadn't been for the Lord our God who was on our side, where would we be today? If God had done it before, confidently we know God will do it again. I give thanks to my brother John, who introduced me to the song that we learned this morning, "Be Still and Know That I Am God." I didn't know until I asked Raylene and the praise team to help me with this song and Megan that it was in our hymn book. And there are more verses to it, directing us on how to be still and how to stay in the presence of God. You know, I wish that when my children were going to church, I have three boys, now I have three men, and one daughter. I wish that was the message that they heard every Sunday. I wish it was the message that I heard every Sunday. Maybe I would not have been so busy doing so many things, and I would take time to pray and to be still with God and to meditate, and the anxiousness and the peace that passes all understanding will come. That's a maturing process, and now that I am retired, I treasure that. And I realize that it was lack of discipline that I turned away from it. He was there, and I looked in other ways. I was an active, do-it person, and I still am. I still am. I don't think that this is calling us to withdraw from being active in a violent and broken world. But it calls us to do it at God's pace, with God, and not on our own steam. Psalm 46:4 says, "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, a holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city, and it shall not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns." The river is symbolic of God's presence when we remember that God is with us in all situations. Darkness before dawn is the darkest time that we have. And just as we are ready to give up, God will show up like God did with Jonah. Scripture does say, "Weeping may come in the night, but joy comes in the morning." In hospice, there is a book that many people contributed that said there's more joy than sorrow. We understand that there is sorrow in this broken world. There is sorrow in death. But there also is joy in knowing the promise we have that we will be united with one another, that we will have the strength to pick up our feet and to get out of bed and to get back into life, but in God's time, not in some artificial time that a culture says 3 days after a death, we have a service, and then it's complete. A memorial service is a public proclamation that a death has occurred and a life has been lived, and we want to say thank you to God. It's the beginning of a process of letting go, of reorientating, to live in a different way and to experience the communion with our loved ones through the gift of prayer. Through the gift of prayer, we know that love never, ever, ever dies. God says it won't always be like that. God is setting up a new world order. God is a God of peace and justice. And we pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." God's plans to bring peace and justice to the earth with the establishment of a new kingdom. We pray that there'll be no more racism or unemployment or homelessness or hunger. No more people losing everything in a storm, the pandemic, or collapsing buildings, which have been a safe home for them for many years. But in the meantime, God calls the people to be still and to know that God is God. We need to heed those words of Isaiah, who says, "Get quiet. Be quiet in repentance and rest in your salvation. In quietness is your strength." I would do a disservice to the living word if I were to leave you with the impression that to be still is an invitation to ignore or withdraw from the violence and the noisy world. We find Psalm 46 is an important challenge to the so-called superpowers to stand still and recognize that God is God and that the superpowers are not. This is to say that I don't become frustrated at the pace in which God moves, at the pace and the time it takes for change. I often pray the prayer in Psalms, "How long, O Lord, how long?" But God's actions are actions. And in his time and through his pace, he sees us through. It takes patience and perseverance on our part. Brothers and sisters, when we are quiet before the Lord, when we are still before God, God can speak peace to our souls and reveal himself to us that we may come to know God at a deeper level. In order to trust God, we must know God, not only an intellectual knowledge, but more important, in an intimate knowledge, knowing that God is good and able to be with us in all seasons and in all situations we face in life. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. As the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Rome and writes to us today, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present nor the future or any power, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is ours in Jesus Christ our Lord." So friends, let us affirm that God is with us in chaos, perhaps more actively at that time, or we open ourselves to recognize his presence. Let us also respond with prayer and not panic, with faith and not fear, and let us be still and know that God is with us. As I said in our African American liturgy, the pastor says, "God is good," and the people say, "Oh." And together we say, "All the time, God is good." Amen and amen.